Yes, kia ora tātou. Welcome back into the program. I'm lucky enough to be joined by Dr. Nathan Price, he's New Zealand Rugby Education and Wellbeing Manager. Just a bit of a blinking mouthful for, you know, a code that is sort of like part of our religion. Anyway, Nathan, it's a pleasure having you on. Kia ora.
Kia ora, John. Thank you.
Yeah, now, you're a doctor, and I was having a chat with you. Could you share sort of like, what are you a doctor in?
Yeah, no, worries. Well, yeah, thanks for having me on. The my PhD was looking at elite athletes, professional athletes, and how we actually prepare them for life after they finish playing. So once they retire, like, what are they doing? How do we support them? What troubles do they go through? It's quite different than the general career. So it's really looking at how we support their mental health, their well-being, their career development, all those kinds of things to make sure there's actually a pathway and some support all the way through them, their career.
Right, and so how long have you been out practicing?
So I finished that in 2007, so it feels like a lifetime ago. And then, so after that, I worked for seven or 8 years at the Australian Institute of Sport with their Olympic athletes. And then about 8 years ago, took up the role here at New Zealand Rugby in Wellington around sort of mental health, wellbeing, education space. So it's been great.
Well, were you Aussie originally? Were you?
No, I'm not. No, I'm New Zealand born and bred. I just went over there for a bit of change of scenery, and there's some exciting things happening in their world of sport, and some opportunities to grow and the like. So it's a good chance to try. Good on you.
No, I wasn't having to go at you if I thought you were an Aussie. I was just wondering. But they are dirty rats, you know. It's another story. Hey, look, so you've entered into this new partnership with Chaka Whaiora to address mental health and wellbeing in our communities. Now, what brought this about? Well, I won't talk about the program specifically, but what brought about this partnership? Because I've just got off the phone from Youth Advocacy and from our police commissioner in regard to the incidence of the rising incidence of mental unwellness in modern society. It's huge, and particularly amongst our young people. So what brought you to look at this partnership with Chaka Whaiora in regard to using the ability to penetrate these communities through sport?
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, we had been doing the program for a few years, but there was a real opportunity, you know, as you know, like to use rugby and sport as a vehicle and to reach the communities that maybe we don't necessarily think have been reached, and that includes our Māori and Pacifica communities. And so a couple of years ago, actually started pre-COVID, we had some chats with Ministry of Health and Suicide Prevention Office, and then sort of Chaka Whaiora were like, actually, this could have great outcomes for our Māori, our rangatahi, and the players in the community. We're like, you know, it actually can, because it's where, you know, we've got 27% of our playing community are Māori. And so we're like, well, actually, we can design this program that it actually suits all of rugby and go into those communities. And Chaka Whaiora were really keen to partner, and actually they've got some amazing resources and personnel there who can really support us in this work, because it's not necessarily core business for rugby, but we've got an awesome opportunity. And if we partner with the right people, then we can actually work together to achieve some of the outcomes that we need, which is, you know, support the well-being of our communities, right? So we're just sort of using rugby as a vehicle and to get out up and down the Motu to kind of raise awareness, provide those strategies and tools for everyone.
Okay, so just pretend I'm a player out here in one of the West Auckland clubs, Waitemata or suburbs or whatever, and I'm how do you know that I'm having a problem?
Yeah, well sometimes we don't, and I guess what we want to do is we're literally going out to as many clubs as we can. There's over 450 across the country, so it'll take us a few years, but the idea is that we'll go out to the clubs, we'll spend, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours in an evening with the members of the club, and we'll actually provide the skill set so they can identify how people are going, and then they can ask the right questions, and then they can point people in the right direction as to where the help is. And then the partnership with Chaka Whaiora allows us to actually connect a bit better with the local service providers as well. So we'll bring them into the club, like at Waitemata, for example, or when we were out the other day, Papakura, and they can come in and say, hey, this is what is the services that are local to this region, and here's some skills about actually how do you have a conversation with someone in your team who you think is struggling? What does struggling even look like? You know, it's different for all of us, right? So we provide them with those tools and skills to be able to do that.
So give me an example of what you mean by provision of some skills. And
yeah, so like it might be simple as like saying, well, what are you looking for? Like if you're in the club room Saturday night after a game, and you know you're talking to someone, and you know that they're not quite right. Well, actually, how do you have that conversation? Because it's really you might say, how are you going, bro? And they'll just be like, yeah, good. But actually, how do you get down and talk to them about mental health and mental wellness, and then. Then providing, if you're the person who's going through something, right, you know, because we know sort of one in five are, actually, what are some principles that you can support through your life in terms of things like, might be like, what's mindfulness? What is gratitude? How do you ask for help? What does help even look like when you ask for it? And so we're just sort of trying to reduce some of that stigma, give some of the tools to say, actually, here's where the help is. But also, like, this is what you can do for yourself because, you know, connecting with others, you know, putting down your devices, having kuroro with those that you're close with, someone you trust. So all those little things, different, you know, exercise, all the things that can contribute to your mental health and well-being, we give people, we'll just sort of bring them back into their consciousness as to what they can do to look after themselves. And then how can they look after others in their community, which is awesome.
Yeah, look, I there is a bit of a, you know, male thing here. I'm not talking mm-hmm. about, and I don't want you to correct me if I'm wrong, about men folk having an inability to own up to having issues. Is there? Yep. Do you find that at all?
Yes. Yeah. And then you can magnify that, John, because it's rugby as well. And then in rugby and in men, like there's an even more ingrained stereotype that you're supposed to be tough, invulnerable, macho, dominant. Not supposed to have these problems, and if you are, shit, you're probably not supposed to talk about them, you know. And so that's part of it. Males, like we know, our male rates in mental health are pretty bad, in particular around suicide, right? So we have a big job to do that because part of it is breaking down that stigma. That's where we, when we go to the clubs, we'll actually take former All Blacks with us. So like Peter Alatini, for example, former All Black, he comes along as well, shares a bit about his story. And it's kind of like, actually, well, if it's okay for him and he's sharing and he can be vulnerable, then you know, maybe I can as well. But it takes time. Like, this isn't something that's going to happen just because we go in and run a workshop for an hour or two. This is a culture change for our communities, right? And we'll just be one cog in that wheel to try and help that. But and we definitely, with our males and our rugby males, yeah, there's right, that stigma is still there for sure.
Yeah, look, there's an estimate, and I put it to another contributor this evening in youth services, that, you know, between 35 and 40% of young people aged 12 to 20 have more anxiety attacks in this generation than any previous generations. Mm-hmm. Have you in your own practice, have you identified that there is a rising issue relevant to mental wellness, full stop?
Yeah, 100%, and in particular post-COVID. And anxiety, like spot on, anxiety is actually the one that we've noticed the most. And what we've found is a lot of the uncertainty creates anxiety. And in particular with our young people, like whether it's around schooling, whether it's around friendship groups, what choices they're going to be able to make or what are going to be made for them. So for us, yeah, anxiety is definitely... anecdotally, you know, we've definitely seen that on the rise, and that's where a lot of the conversations are happening. You know, what does it look like for you? How are you going to go through that? And what's some tools that can be put in place? And I think there needs to be a bit of a push around this space. So, yeah, 100% over the last couple of years, that's what we're hearing the most of. Yeah.
Well, just pretend I'm a 18-year-old player up here in Auckland, and I'm built like Jason Momoa. but I don't feel like him, right? So I'm just trying to work through. I've got major. I feel I got issues here that I need to address, right? Whether it's at home, whether it's at school, whether it's where I'm heading as a young person and having to determine my career options, there's a lot of shit going down, right? So what are you, just pretend I'm that homie. What do you do? Just pretend we're having this chat. You're my mindfulness man.
Yeah. Cool. I'd be asking you firstly, who are you connecting with? Like, who's in your circle? Who's your entourage? Who do you really trust? Who do you get your advice from? Is it from social media? Is it from friends and whānau? Is it from doctors? I'll also ask if, what are you feeling at the moment? And then I'll talk about them, whether they have a relationship with, say, their GP. You know, a lot of young people, and men in particular, don't actually have a relationship with their GP. They don't go to their GP. And so it's like, that's actually where some good help is. Last one around, what are they doing for themselves? Are they active? What are they eating? What are they drinking? What's their sleep like? What sort of things can they start to prioritise in their life that might start to take some of the anxiety away? Also, where's the time for them? Like, how do they take time out? Is their mind going at 100 miles an hour? Or what do they do to actually switch it off? What's the circuit breaker? Do they do some mindfulness? Do they do breathing? Do they practice gratitude? What takes them away from that churn a little bit? What are they reading? Like I say, where are they getting that information from? Is it accurate? All those sorts of things we're talking about. Exercise in particular is important in their connection. So are they connected to their culture? That's such a massive protective factor. How do they do that? So, and are they deliberate about working on their own mental fitness? Just like we would work on our physical fitness, are you deliberately working on your mental fitness? It takes time. We're not just built to take all these knocks. We actually have to work on it as well. So those would be a few of the conversations we'll probably start to have, for sure.
Oh, well, see, you're just giving a number of our listeners opportunities and options to reflect on their boys' problems or their girls' problems. And they just see it as a behavioural difficulty rather than a plea for help.
Mm.
Do you understand the difference?
Yeah, 100%. And it is confusing. And for people, if you don't know what you're looking for, it's hard to pick up on. It is easy to dismiss as boys being boys or teenagers being teenagers. And that's where some of those conversations have got to be really deliberate. And they're hard, right? It's actually quite hard to go deep and be vulnerable with someone that age. So it's about, building that trust that they know they can go to you and there's no judgment. And you're tooled up there. You're like, okay, I think you need something that I can't give you, So here's a few places that you can go. There's lots of doors to walk through and I want to help set you up, or I'll go along with you. So it's super important to be, really deliberate about those conversations, not to necessarily just dismiss it as a teenage or boy thing. We've just got to be a bit better than that.
Well, look, Nathan, I'm really pleased to have you on and have this chat because there are looming and major issues as our society takes on the digital revolution and the escape of likes and shares, and if I'm not liked and shared enough, I'm down in the dumps and I can't live with myself, and so on and so forth, right? So there's a lot more pressures at a faster pace that are descending on our young people as they make their way through life than probably in any other generation in humankind.
Totally.
And it takes people like yourself and others to just unpack this in light of the speed that it's going, and that's the challenge.
Yeah, 100%.
But anyway, Nathan, I thank you very much for spending time with us, and you can put down in your contract to Te Aka Whai Ora that you just talked to 10,000 Māoris on one night.
John, that's awesome.
Okay, mate, thanks very much for coming on. Kia ora.
Okay, kia ora. See you. Bye-bye.